Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everyone. This is Apostle Johnny Floyd. Welcome again to the Tuesday night broadcast. It is 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, and we are definitely existing in a time where much clarity is needed on where we're going. I want to thank everyone for tuning in, and I am grateful that God has given me the time again and the opportunity to share a word with you. You know, before I get started, I want to have a brief word of prayer before we get into the thick of things. So if you could, please pray with your brother. Gracious God, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. God, we purify you, O Lord. We praise you, O God. Father, we thank you, O Lord, for purifying us, O Lord, that when we come before you, O Lord, you wash us clean. And God, we just appreciate your presence, O Lord, for your presence is needed, O Lord. And God, we know we cannot do anything without you. We are weak, Father, but you make us strong. And God, we pray tonight, Lord, as we go through this particular hour, that this hour is not wasted upon ears, oh God, but the people that you desire to hear, oh God, will feed upon it and will be blessed behind it. We thank you, oh God, again, for your blood, your power, your strength. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, dear heart, I have an interesting topic to discuss. Something I've spoken about before, but it was just on a surface level dealing with covenant. And I want to address this topic because from the last time I really talked about this, I really go deep into it. And today I'm going to take a shovel and we're going to remove some layers of history and dirt. Because these are the things that has us buried, and we cannot see the light in which we stand. So if you can, you know, really turn with me, if you have your Bibles, to the book of Genesis. We are going to talk about covenant. Genesis chapter number 17, I am reading from the King James Version. Whether you have your Bible or your iPad or whatever device you may be using, just if you can turn with me, Genesis chapter number 17. I'm going to read a few verses because I'm going to talk about these. I won't get through the whole topic of which God gave me, and I know that. And so I want to take my time and go into some areas, if you please. So Genesis chapter number 17, verse number 1, and it reads as, "And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me, and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations." I want to stop right there, because I don't want to continue to read and not get to certain points. So tonight we're having a discussion about covenant, and really not a discussion, but I just want to share some things with you. And this thing has resonated with me for a long period of time. And so as I address this, I want to talk the difference between covenant and relationship. And I'm going to start off by saying this. Many people speak of their relationship with God. And they talk in this manner because, they've heard pastors say it. People have asked them, how do they know God? How well do they know God? Do you know who Jesus is? And so some of them, majority of people respond by saying, I have a relationship with God. So now I want to dive in. The words mean something, and I have to say this because it's indicative of us that when we feel challenged, and it talks about how we deal or how God deals with us, we refer to our relationship with God. Now, I want to dig into this thing, this word we call or have referred to as relationship. So a relationship is an agreement that is formed between one or two parties or two or more parties. It is a relationship, is an agreement that facilitates some type of activity or conversation or deeds between two or more parties or people that are involved or organizations that are involved. And in this relationship, what solidifies it is the agreement, right? Because it takes, as we've heard, two people to tangle, to establish a relationship. And so when we hear the word relationship, we really dive into how we are relating to one to another, mostly male and female. And so I look on Facebook or, sometimes, and when someone goes from single, to the next step in their life, they say in a relationship. Now, the impressive thing about that, it doesn't force you to say who you are in a relationship with. It's just the fact that you are in a relationship. And mostly guys don't do that. It's the women that put on that in a relationship, and they will challenge the male at many corners and turns. Why don't they just identify that they are involved with someone? So now, the thing that I've learned, and this is just me now, it's not biblical, this is just Donnie Floyd. The thing that I've learned is that relationships are selfish because, they are contractual agreements, sometimes without paper, that says, I do this for you, you must do this for me, okay? And so that is a relationship. And so in contractual agreements and business contracts, the contract merely states what one party has to do, complete, or submit, or offer, or build, or sell, or whatever. They have a commitment. And the other party has a commitment as well. And so if one does not meet the requirements in the contract, they can dismantle the relationship. And so we find that in our personal relationship because the marriage is a contractual agreement on paper. It says that this person is committed to that person, and it doesn't really say that. But it is assumed, I should say, that one person has the responsibility to do certain things for the other person, and the other person has a responsibility to do certain things for the other. So these are relationships. And so if these terms are not met, oftentimes the relationships through attorneys are ended or brought to a halt. And so when we talk about the biggest relationship we have in our life upon men and women, we experience marriage, and when something happens that the other party is not pleased with, we experience divorce. So the relationship on paper comes to an end. And oftentimes, if there are no other items or children or things that came about through the relationship, then there's nothing to separate. Even in a business agreement, you know, if there's something that you are in a business contract with someone and you all are producing a certain product, if there comes a point in time of this contract that you're not pleased with the other person, then you have to split the assets and let each party go on their way. Oftentimes, with a business contract, the company may be dismantled, or one person buys the other person out, or, you know, if there's any intellectual property involved, you know, then they, you know, go by it from a legal perspective to determine what happens. And that is the relationship. So I see relationships as selfish, because if you don't do this for me, I'm not going to do this for you. If you do something to me that I don't like, I may just retaliate and do something else to you. And so here comes the selfishness involved, because if you cannot get your way in this relationship, it can cause some problems. I'm talking about covenant now, but I need to express where I am, you know, and I want you to know the difference. So now the other interesting piece in a relationship is that we as human, in our humanistic form, can develop and create relationships with people that we like, that we want to do business with, or that we want to hang around. We can develop that relationship, and oftentimes, in some cases, those relationships are one way. You know, some people have a relationship, well, with television, but they give the television all the time. Television may give them the programs they want, but, you know, who is gaining the most? And sometimes the TV may get more out of relationship than the person that is watching it. So we have relationships with each other where there's an opportunity to give and there's an opportunity to receive. And so some of us are in relationships with people where they do more giving and get less in return. And people ask the question, why are you still in that relationship? So here comes that identifies the selfishness involved in the relationship. Now, I'm going to go a little bit further. We have a tendency to colloquialize a situation, or we use certain terms because it sounds good. When we talk about God and we don't want people to really know our lackadaisical position, where we are with God, we like to infer that we have a relationship with God. And so we colloquialize that by using certain terms, you know. God knows my heart. He knows how I am, and he's going to deal with me a certain way. Now, this infers that you have the control of a relationship between you and God. Uh-oh, there we go. So this relationship now shows your selfishness, because even though you know your heart, you expect for God to accept your heart in a manner by which you control the relationship with him. Woo, boy, this is crazy. And so we we have euphemisms and colloquialisms that we encounter when it comes to how we want people to view us in our interaction or contact, if you please, with God. Now, how they view your reaction or your interaction is when they see you in church, or they see you carrying your Bible, or they see you reading a book or listening to a gospel or Christian music, or you categorize yourself as a Christian. We're talking about the relationship now, the relationship. It's interesting, though, that in the midst of all of these things that I have just mentioned, not one of these things identifies or speaks to the very essence of a covenant. My Lord. Now, for those that have been married, if you have been married and you have experienced divorce, if you've been married, you have felt the heartbreak of separation or rejection, or you felt that. And even though there's a part of you that don't want to leave, sometimes that paper gives you no choice in the matter. So now watch this now. So when we read Genesis chapter number 17, it uniquely now starts off by saying, and when Abram was 90 years old and none, speaking of he was 99, the Lord appeared to him. Now, I want to establish something here. In a relationship, people seek out one another. Sometimes nobody's seeking out and they just run into each other. But I want to show you the difference in the covenant, because you know, only God now can establish a covenant. We can create and develop relationships, but only God can establish a covenant. And so in this now, when God now approaches or appears, watch this now. Well, this is powerful. God appeared. It didn't say how God appeared to Abram. It didn't say what God looked like. It didn't say the shape or the form. But it says that God appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. So now this is beautiful, because not only did God appear to Abram, but God talked to him. Ooh, my Lord, y'all don't see that. And that's okay. See, God not just appeared, but he talked to Abram. And so you have to now imagine in your present walk with where you are, that God would appear to you to have a conversation. Oh, my. Whew. You know, my big mama said it to me, my father told me plenty of times as well, if a man or a woman can't hear from God, they cannot obey God. Now, I want you to dig off into that now, because now God now speaks to Abram. You know, Abram didn't have the Old Testament. He did not have what we call the Bible. He did not have scripture as we know it today. Only thing he had was God appearing unto him. Whew, man, see, I want y'all to grab a hold of this, because it wasn't what Abraham read that God appeared to him. It wasn't what Abraham toted in his hand or turned pages on. You know, it didn't have anything to do with Abram. It had everything to do with God. And so now God appears unto Abram, and so some of you all can wrestle with that if you want. I love the idea that God would appear unto me. You know, that just sounds good. Now, it sounds perfect. It sounds perfected. That God would choose me to appear unto me. Y'all bear with me here for a minute. And so now in this verse, let's look at what God does. He takes control of the situation by showing himself to Abram. He did not tell him to take off his shoes. He did not tell him to bow down. He appeared unto Abram, and as he showed himself, he decided to have a one-on-one conversation with Abram, and he said, "Now walk with me." Lord have mercy, y'all. I'm about to jump out of my skin here. It's amazing that when God is in pursuit of you and he wants to establish something with you, he's not going to say catcalls. He's not going to throw you one-liners. He's not going to say the sweet nothings or try to figure out some smooth line to get your attention. Just the fact that God appears right there before you and then says unto you, come now, take a walk with me, my Lord. And he tells him to be thou perfect. How in the world can an imperfect man become perfect? Only because God said it. You know, if he said, be thou perfect, then Abram had no other reason but for this particular moment that he has God in his presence, and God is creating the atmosphere. He's creating the place, and he's entered in because he wants to talk to you, and so let's come take a walk. I have to tell you now, what's interesting here is that, you know, there was no clapping of the hands. There was no shouting hallelujah. Oh, Lord. There was no glory, glory, glory. There was no dancing. There was no music. There was not the things that we do today in church. As a matter of fact, Abram wasn't in a building, anything to that effect. But God came to him where he was and told him, come walk with me. Ah, my Lord, boy. I wonder, have we done this situation down to the point where we have to be in certain places, where we have to be around certain people, where we have to be doing certain things in order for God to show himself? I wonder if you were just sitting in your chair and just waking up out of a short nap and decided to stretch and open your eyes and there was God. How would it be if you were driving down the road and nobody in the car with you and you just listening to some music and all of a sudden you look and there is God? How would this affect you if you were in the shower washing your face and washing your hair, your eyes closed, and then as you rinse off, you shake your head and pull back the curtain, and there is God. You know, because it doesn't say that you have to be doing a certain thing, or you have to be in a certain place, or you have to be around certain people for God to show himself to you. My Lord, I hope I can get through this tonight. I haven't even gotten to verse number 2 yet, and I'm just overwhelmed by the fact that that in this covenant that is about to take place, that it wasn't that Abraham was looking for God. God was ready to do something with him. It wasn't that Abram had so much stuff and things that it was attracted to God. Abram could not have had a lot of nothing or plenty of something, or however you want to say that. The treasures or non-treasures that he had wasn't the thing that attracted God to him. He wasn't, you know, showing money as if this would get God's attention. You know, it didn't matter what Abram was doing or where he was. When God desired or decided to do something with Abram, he showed himself. Whew, this is a part of that selection process of which when we pull away from the colloquialisms of how you need to do certain things for God to be there, how you need to say certain things in order for God to hear you, how you have to give certain things in order for God to receive you. This is not the case here because it wasn't the relationship, because it was selfish. It was the covenant that God was getting ready to establish with him. I'm going on to verse number 2. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply these exceedingly. Now, y'all grab a hold of this now. For all y'all that want to keep talking about your relationship with God, you're excluding God out of that, because God is not in relationship with anybody. God established covenants. And you cannot establish a covenant because you don't have the power nor the strength to establish the covenant. God establishes the covenant because he don't have to swear by anything but by himself. He doesn't need a book to back him up. He doesn't need a storyteller to converse, to convince you of who he is or what he's done. Just God being God all by himself has a place in his heart just for you. And the only way that you can be a part of what he does is that he show himself to you and he establishes a covenant with you. He doesn't do it through people. God establishes the covenant that he wants with you, with you. If you've made yourself available or not, if God wants to establish a covenant with you, he will show himself. It doesn't matter if you are the pastor's son or daughter, or if you're just a regular person sitting in the pews. If God wants to establish a covenant with you, he does not need anything or anybody. He does it all by himself. Now, you know, I want you to grab a hold of this now. Abram could not offer anything in this covenant. He didn't have anything. He could not give anything. He could not render anything unto God. He didn't have the power to do it. Abram didn't have resources. He didn't have the wisdom, the knowledge. He didn't have understanding. He was not mighty. He did not have good counsel. And so what could Abraham offer God in this covenant? And see, that's the interesting thing. God is not offering or asking you, he's not asking you to offer him anything. He comes to establish the covenant so you can have something to offer. Ah, Lord, because it's only that God sees what's in you and he wants to bring it out of you. And when he brings it out, he does it when he's established an agreement. When he's established a covenant with you. So let's dive into what we see the covenant is, right? Covenant is something that God creates and that God establishes. He does it, establishes by reading something that identifies who he is. He establishes by his will, and he speaks it to you. He doesn't give you Abraham's covenant. He gives you the covenant that he wants you to have. He doesn't give you the covenant with Moses. He doesn't give you the covenant with Joshua. He does not give you the covenant even that he had with David. But God speaks to you because when he talks to you, he brings in all of the other covenants that he has spoken of that will come up into that day and time when he reveals himself to you, and he comes to you and he speaks to you and tells you, come walk with me. Not a short walk am I talking about here, not a stroll around the sidewalk or the block. We're not talking about a walk down the trail, but this is a walk that when it starts, God begins it and God ends it. So all God is saying now when he reveals himself to you is, come now, walk with me and let me talk to you. It's a lifetime to walk with God. It doesn't happen in a few days. He starts this walk with you, and when you become accustomed to walking to him and listening to him, it makes sense now that even Jesus would say, my sheep knoweth my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. Everybody that is claiming to be in a relationship with God don't know God, because God establishes the covenant. Ooh, it's something interesting here now. I can't get into it today, but I just want you to see this now from where we are. So now, you know, and God now brings some assurances to Abram, because in verse 4 he says, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Now, watch this now. You got the hitters now. It's not that God's covenant is with the person that's next to you. No, the covenant that God established with you is not with your parents. The covenant that God establishes with you is not with your spouse. It's not even with your pastor. The covenant now that God established with you is with you. He reveals himself now to you. You could be sitting in the midst of thousands of people and only you witness and see God. And so in that moment now, God is trying to show himself only to you. There could be 30 people gathered around you, and you could be discussing something with them. And at that very moment that God reveals himself to you, he's now getting ready to do something that cannot be changed, and he's now doing it only for that you would have an avenue to give him now what he wants. Then I'm almost there. I'm almost there. You know, so now covenant now is God's agreement, not your agreement. Covenant now is God's power in here, not yours. Covenant now is God in here. And so as God is interjecting himself in your life, as he's calling you by your name, if he changes it, great. If he doesn't change it, that's great too. But he now identifies within the covenant who you are. Abraham became father of many nations. I wonder now, as I sit here and I fathom in my mind, if God is trying to show himself to you, what is it that he's trying to show you about you? What is he ready to call you? And it may not look like that's who you are right now, but even Abram in his 99th year is experiencing something that seems mind-blowing, because a 99-year-old man is going to be the father of many nations, and he does not have one child. Oh, Whoo, boy, now if you want to clap your hands, if you want to wave your hands, you can wave them now. How is it that in his old age, God appears to him and tells him something? Should not Abram have been in his 20s? He's lived 99 years, and now God wants to bring a nation out of him. Watch it now, because God will catch you in the time when you think that you don't have anything else to offer, and it is him now that establishes this covenant with you, and what you did not think you had, or who you did not believe you were, or who you did not know that you was a part of, he reveals not only himself, but he now tells you your destiny. Oh, my God. Man, this is some good stuff here. He tells you your destiny, and it don't look like it's feasible. Don't look like it's possible to do at this moment. It doesn't make sense because of all of the history or your present situation. How would God, or why would God choose me, knowing that I've done A, B, C and been a part of 1, 2, 3, and who I was or who I am now doesn't line up? God, why would you come to me and I've done all of these wrong things in life, and you want to establish a covenant with me? Listen to me, dear heart. When God appears to you and shows himself, he's not showing himself to you just so you can say, I met God. But he's showing himself to you that he can get ready to establish something with you, that he can reveal to you who you really are, what you are to do. If somebody has ever wondered in their mind or in their heart, you know, I don't know what I'm supposed to do for the Lord. I have no idea how I'm supposed to serve God. I see all these people that preach. Maybe I should preach. No, 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 no. I hear these evangelists. Maybe I should evangelize. No, 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 no. I hear the prophet. God, give me a word. And so maybe I should prophesy. No, 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 no. Maybe I should just teach or preach or pray. Listen, watching other people does not tell you who God wants you to be. You cannot find out who you are without establishing something that makes sense. And that is, I can't do this. That's the thing you need to establish in your head, because only God now can create, develop, and build a covenant around you. Only God can develop a covenant that he can speak to you. If I could for a minute, I'm going way above myself and before further on down the road in this discussion, and I won't get to it today. But it wasn't the disciples that decided to break bread with Jesus. It was Jesus that decided to break bread with them. They didn't have a body to offer, but Jesus did. They didn't have blood to give, but Jesus did. Then how can he be the giver of all of this and we be the recipients? What can we render unto him? And he did not need anything from us to establish the covenant. Ooh. He offered wine and bread. Eat, this is my body. Drink, this is my blood. Wasn't anything in there that you could give. Now watch it now, because as God establishes this covenant with Abraham, here comes an exchange. I want you all to grab a hold of this now. Here comes the exchange, because now God says this: neither shall thy name anymore be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. Where's the exchange? Abraham gives up his name and receives the name that God gives him. Abraham gives up who he is, that God can tell him who he has become. Abraham releases his history and his past, that God can give him a standard of a future. Look at this now. Because if God changes his name, he changes who he is. He changes where he's going. He gives him a new pathway. And the walk has not ended. The walk is still going. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, I am not in a relationship with God. I don't have a relationship with God. God established a covenant with me. I'm not afraid to say that God appeared to me. And when he did, he asked me to walk with him. He did not make me father of many nations. But what he has made me, only he can speak it and bring it to pass. I may not be around to see the totality of what he has called me. It may come many years, days, decades afterwards. I may not even witness the strength of what he said he's going to pull out of my loins. But, you know, because he said it, I believe it. Your covenant, if God has appeared to you and he's establishing the covenant and he started the walk and he's not being silent, he's talking to you. He's releasing your destiny. He's talking about your future. He's deleting your past. Everybody else may remember your past. They definitely don't know your future. And at that present moment where you are, he is giving you something and changing something that you don't have power over. Only he does. So the question again is rendering in your mind, what is it that God has called me to do? First thing is to hear him, because when he appears, he's going to talk with you. Dear hearts, I don't want to go any further than where I have stepped into, because there are many of you out there that are listening now. God has appeared unto you. I'm not finished with this. I will get a little bit deeper into it next week. How deep can you go? Listen, I want you all to hear the truth. Absence of the truth is what brings confusion. And we've listened to people over the pulpit tell us about relationships with God. God has never been interested in you establishing a relationship with him. He's seeking to establish a covenant with you. In God's covenant, he gives himself no escape. In relationships, you can walk away. In a covenant with God, he's the giver. He's the one that will exchange and take everything ugly, nasty, bad, foul, sick about you and give you all that's good about him and healthy. God makes the exchange with you. He changes not just your name, not just your destiny, but he affects the future of the people that come after you. Dear hearts, I need for you to hear me tonight. Whether you are still at work, driving, whatever country you're sitting in right now, I want to pray that God appears to you. I know that sounds crazy. Some of y'all think I'm far-fetched, you know, and that's okay. Because if he appeared to Abram, he's the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. Why will he not appear unto you? Why can he not appear unto me? So my prayer tonight is not that God appears to you, but that you can hear his voice and that you will follow him and that you will walk with him. So if you could, pray with your brother. Pray for those that are around you right now. I speak the blessings of the Lord upon your life as you get ready to pray and release. For those that are not praying and those that are serious about God appearing before them and then talking with them, my prayer is that your ears are open, your spirit is ready to receive the very presence and the power of God. Gracious God, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, I thank you. Father, I appreciate you. Lord, how good and perfect you are. Father, I pray, God, that our ears are open as you appear unto us. God, it never said how you appeared unto Abraham. It just says that you appeared unto him and you begin to speak to him. And you ask Abraham to come walk with you. Father, it is my prayer tonight behind your presence, O Lord. It is not possible without your presence, O God, that you speak to the people that have ears to hear. And God, that you show yourself to them, letting them know that there's nothing that they can do or have power over. They can't shape, they can't form. When you appear, O God, you appear unto them. And God, that they would see you, receive you, O Lord, hear you, and walk with you. Their destiny is getting ready to be released. The future in their loins are getting ready to produce. Father, we thank you, O God, right now, hallelujah, that your presence, your power, O God, is moving upon the listening ear. Hallelujah. And regardless of what they've experienced in life, you can speak to them right now, establish the covenant with them, and let them walk as they choose to with you, O God, listening to you, Father, choose to walk with God. And God, that you will release their destiny in their future. I thank you, O God. Father, we pray for the people that are in South Florida that have loved ones that could be still buried in the rubble. Father, we pray for our troops, our soldiers, our airmen, our sailors, our Marines that are serving this country across the world. Father, we thank you for our pastors, our leaders, our apostles, the prophets, evangelists, pastors, and the teachers. Father, we thank you for every spiritual gift that you have released upon us in the midst of walking with you in this covenant. We thank you and thank you again and again, O Lord. Father, bless our footsteps as we move forward. Open our ears continuously, O God, as we walk with you, that we will continue to hear you, Father. We bless you, O God. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear hearts, I want to give, you know, the opportunity, you know, I asked God for some time, and I wanted to be grateful and thankful as many of you have tuned in to this. You know, God has blessed me that, you know, we have over 300 people across the world that are listening in from my hometown, Rome, Georgia, South, up in Chattanooga, Chicago, here, all over the state of Georgia, Florida, South Carolina, Alabama, Hawaii. There are folks in London, England that are listening in, have some people from Dubai. I'm just grateful. It's not because of me. You know, I want to obey God. This is not a broadcast to convince you to give money. You know, this is one that God has laid upon my heart to do because he wants us to know truth. And so, you know, was a blessing for me in this moment, and I asked God for the opportunity, the time to talk about this, is that it took me a minute to really understand what it meant to for God to establish a covenant with me. Yeah. Took me a minute. So I'm not asking you all to grab all this information and just walk with it and walk away excited and stuff and with no substance. I really want you to experience the fact that of God appearing before you and that he wants to do something with you that only he can do. And it just doesn't have an effect upon you. Has an effect upon your children, your children's children, and so on. So you hearing from God or God appearing before you really doesn't have anything just to do with you. It has everything to do with the covenant that God establishes with you. Well, God bless you. It's been a blessing for me. If you all could continue to pray for your brother. I had a good trip yesterday, as a matter of fact, to Florida. Hopefully, I'll have word where in the next 5 to 6 weeks, I'll be getting my right hip operated on. And I'm just thanking God. If you all have never known me, you know, for the past 3 years, I had really had issues walking, and so it was back on May 3rd that God allowed me to have surgery, successful surgery, and the same doctor did that surgery is going to do the surgery here, you know, as I go back down to Florida. I especially want to give a shout-out to a very, very dear friend of mine, Kathy Owens. I know you're listening. You know, I'm blessed to be able to call you my friend. You know, I appreciate you from every standpoint that God has allowed me to experience life, talk about Jesus, and discuss the things that God has put on my heart with you. I pray that the blessings of the Lord is upon your life, and that you continue to blossom and grow. I want to be grateful to the people that have really been an inspiration to me and that has encouraged me to move forward with doing the things that God has asked me to do. Love you all. It has been a pleasure. There are some great things to come as we go deeper into the covenant. There are some things that God really wants you to know and to hear. You be blessed now. If you find someone, you know, if you run into someone, you know, I know we're in a pandemic state or recovering from it, but speak a word of life over them. Amen. God bless you.